Oh, when I need a laugh, there's a helping people. But Tom Price talking to these funny people. He's asking what they find and they're telling stories. Can somebody yell out the name of the show, please? It's my mate, Wood Toaster. Oh, it's my mate, Wood Toaster. Yeah, yeah, it's my mate, Wood Toaster. Toaster for my love, thank God, Toaster.
Hello, welcome back. It is chapter two of this week's My Mate Bought a Toaster activity. Chapter one, of course, was Angela Scanlon. And chapter two is Toasted, when we go over the Angela Scanlon episode. And as ever, I am joined by my wife, Beth Morrie. Hello.
Hello.
So first things first, there's a few threads that we've picked at on Toasted, which don't relate necessarily to Angela Scanlon, but I feel like we should mention them straight off the bat.
Mm.
If we don't mention them, I'll forget.
Yeah.
Number one, hello to Nick Pearson. Nick DM'd me on the Instagram, which you can do if you really want to, which is very nice to hear from you, Nick, to say thank you for the filter advice. Now, this happened at the end of the Anya Magliano episode, where I felt like, I'll be honest, like a bit of an elder, because Anya was talking about getting her shark hoover, and I advised her to clean the filters, and
oh,
she
you gave
didn't.
Very sage advice. You're like Yoda for hoovers.
Is there some sort of sage advice pod where people, you know, 40 and over, talk to people who are 23 and go, for goodness sake, start taking, I don't even know what oils you might want to take or tablets you might want to take now.
Yeah, yeah.
For example, in fact, Callie Beaton was on the podcast a while back, a brilliant episode, and I definitely recommend it. Callie's a fantastic stand-up comedian. And she talked about talking to women in their 20s and getting them to moisturise their necks. Because if you start in your 20s, yes, you might be listening to this going, oh my God, not too late in your 30s. 40s, Beth, is it too late?
Well, I have been moisturising my neck since my 20s, and I think I look like an old turkey anyway. Nice. So I'm not sure that it actually does any good.
You didn't get the right anti-wattle cream.
I know, but I mean, it's the kind of thing that you probably know when you're in your 20s and you just can't be asked.
I don't think you have an old turkey's neck, although you are now sort of pulling your neck up. So anyway, Nick, I'm really happy because Nick has sent a picture of, I'm almost tempted to share it on our socials, Nick has sent a picture of his clean filters. So this is this is the life advice that we get on My Mate Bought a Toaster. You go and buy yourself a Hoover, and in a year's time you're going to say it's stopped working and you're going to get rid of it and buy a new one. Don't do that. Go and clean the filters. It's like a sponge of hell that sits there in the middle of your Hoover. Certainly with the ninjas, it's very easy to access. Your YouTube is your friend. And then you rinse it out in the sink, which is disgusting. And it's a me job, isn't it?
You would never definitely. Do I don't know. I'm saying this in inverted commas. I don't know how to do it.
Well, it's also, as I said to Anya, it's quite a good job to sort of big yourself up to your other half.
You get brownie points.
I'll do this one. It's sort of more blacky. It's a black,
sludgy point.
Sludgy, very hair-based because of all our dogs. Anyway, Nick, your filters. Can I just show you, Beth, the picture? If you'd like to describe the picture of the filters to the listeners. Look at that.
That is pristine, that filter.
It almost looks brand new.
Has he bought a new filter?
I wonder if Nick's bought a new filter. Anyway, thank you for getting in touch with the show, Nick. Don't forget, you can get in touch with the show at tom@toasterpod.com. The other thread, which is an appropriate word, that I'd like to very briefly pull on before we dive into Angela Scanlon's episode, is wigs. Because, of course, Hayley Morris came on the show a couple of weeks ago, didn't she, Beth?
And 11 wigs.
She admitted to buying 11 wigs.
Hayley, 11 wigs Morris.
That's right. Feel free to go on her Instagram and ask her if she's bought any wigs recently. And, Beth, what are you wearing right now?
So I had a breakthrough this week. I've been buying wigs almost constantly, like some sort of deranged loon with a really weird addiction. And all of them are too wiggy. I've just struck out with every single wig I've bought.
Right. When you say too wiggy, but it looks like fake hair.
Looks like a wig.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, I look like I'm dressed as a spy. Mm. And this week I had a sudden revelation. Hair pieces.
Which is a coward's wig.
Yes.
Because you're because
dialed
I
dialed down wig.
Well, it's topping up what's already there. See, I couldn't use a hairpiece because you're adding in to what's already there.
I bought a clip-in fringe, which, I mean, it does sound not very good. Yeah. It's so brilliant. I love it.
Did you get it on Amazon?
Yes, $13.99.
Can you send me the link and I'll put it in the episode description? If you want to wear the same hairpiece as my wife, what an offer. Then
they come
we'll
in a range of different colors. I've bought a second one that's identical because I was so panicky about losing the first.
Right, right. Okay, so you've got... Does it come in a pair or do you just... You bought two?
I bought two.
Hang on, so what's it called? A hairpiece?
No, it's like a clip-in fringe or something.
So
like.
You've got a clip-in fringe right
You're not going to find it because there are lots of clip-in fringes on Amazon.
Oh, yeah. But if yours is good, you need to recommend it because presumably this is the sort of thing you buy on Amazon and you get and instantly you go, well, this is rubbish. And no one,
yes.
Let's be honest, no one ever sends back, you know, I'm looking here. You can get them for $6.99. No one ever sends those
but
back.
But mine was only $13.99. And wow. I think it said it was human hair, which I'm a bit grossed out by, I'll admit. But it's great.
Yes.
And that's the future.
Yes.
Is bumping up your hair with other hair.
So, but what you've done with the hairpiece... is miraculously, it matches your hair.
Yeah, I was very lucky.
Was there a sort of a tick box for mousy brown? How did this work?
Light brown. But they have a range of colours. There's dark brown, there's red, there's blonde.
Has anybody spotted it?
Somebody said, oh, look, you've got fringe, but nobody said, oh, you're wearing a wig. Man, that would be rude. Maybe they're all thinking it.
No, it's no way. There's no way you'd look at that and go hairpiece.
Yeah, it's very good.
Yeah, we're not in a Terry Wogan situation.
And I have huge experience, as I've said, of this.
How many wigs do you think you own?
15.
Oh, wow. Wow.
It's got out of control.
We're going to put a link to Beth's hairpiece. So make sure you look in the episode description and you could be getting a hairpiece that is pretty good, actually.
These nice. Bangs are banging.
That's very good. Wow.
Thanks.
Wow, that's really ended the wig feature nicely. give us your wig updates, please. Right, Angela Scanlon. Wow. Great episode.
I love her. I mean, you love her, but yeah. I love her.
She is so... I hadn't realised. I know she's a great presenter, and she's obviously... I think she was a model, so she's obviously a very beautiful lady. She's so funny. She's funny.
A very beautiful lady.
But she's funnier than most comedians.
She's so quick.
My God.
And she's got such a way with words. Like, why is she in the mix to be the next Strictly host? Because she should be.
Oh, she should be all
like,
over that.
Quick tip, BBC execs.
I would be scanlining up most of my presenting shortlists for anything mainstream big.
Yeah.
Apart from the news.
If she bought my clip-in fringe in red, she could be like a red-haired Claudia.
Well, her hair doesn't look real when she arrives.
It's beautiful.
It's bright red. And in fact, that's a topic we can go from hair to hair. Let's talk about that, first of all. We talked about Gingers. Now, obviously, she made that TV program about ringers. Did you enjoy, because you came up, we talked about your nipples.
Yes, I did hear that, yes.
I hope that was
my
okay.
Nipples came up as a discussion point.
They often do, to be honest, when just out and about.
But I'd forgotten that fact about how ginger people have like a lower tolerance for pain.
Ginger people feel more pain. This is the thing. And fairer skins, because it's probably something to do with pigment. I should probably know a fact.
I don't know. It sounds kind of untrue, but I'm not ginger, but I have many ginger genes and Irish genes.
Yes.
So I'm now convinced that I've got this low tolerance for pain.
There are studies to say that ginger people feel more pain. However, people with red hair. Oh, here we go. Look, here we go. Here's a fact. Live AIing right now. People with red hair often require about 20% more anaesthesia for medical procedures, according to studies. They may also be more sensitive to local anaesthetics like lidocaine, some sort of drug, which is why some have a fear of dentists. I have a fear of dentists.
I'm interested.
And they're always shocked when they honestly, the number of times my dentist has given me a pain treatment and I've gone, I can still feel that.
Can I refer you to the first sentence of that AI overview?
No.
Which is...
Don't want to.
No, it is not accurate to say that ginger people feel more pain. What they're basically saying is you don't feel more pain, you just think you do, you massive wuss.
Wow.
Are
you really going to war with the gingers? Is that what you're doing here?
Well, I mean, I'm counting myself as one there, but, you know,
well, you're only ginger because you're wearing a ginger wig, so that's not real at all. Elsewhere, it says they can be more sensitive to temperature-related pain, like cold and heat. Yes, I'm very sensitive to all this stuff. The difference in pain perception is linked to a genetic mutation in the melanocortin-1 receptor. Yeah, well, which is responsible for red hair and fair skin. The gene also plays a role in how the brain processes pain. So the gene that gives you ginger plays a role in how the brain processes pain.
It's all in your head.
It's all on my
That's
head.
That's what it means.
It's all on my head. That's the whole point, isn't it? I enjoyed validating the ginger discussion and also talking about how painful breastfeeding was, because I remember you just in agony.
Yeah, it was horrible. And obviously, like Angela, you do turn to Amazon, particularly in those early years, because you think there's a problem. I can fix it by throwing money at it. If I just buy this thing, it will get a bit easier. And I guess sometimes that turns out to be true.
But nipple shields didn't work.
Nipple shields did not work. Lanolin.
Lanolin. Very. Yeah. Lanolin's excellent. So here's a tip about lanolin, right? Maybe we should put a link to lanolin.
Yeah, because it's only about £7.
Yeah, and obviously it is for nipple cream. It's for dried nipples from breastfeeding, right?
Yeah.
That's specifically what it's for. But we use it for, as I said on the pod, we use it for cracked knuckles and for dry
and
skin. It's amazing.
Lip balm, amazing lip balm.
Lanolin is an amazing lip balm. Right, okay, so lanolin's got to go on the list of things we recommend on the show today. Right, so far what have we got? We've got the hair piece, which we're going to put on the link.
Clip-in fringe.
Yeah, fine, clip-in fringe. And lanolin. Yeah, do you remember the shock with which you began breastfeeding and I remember that first day when we came back with number one and you were just in agony.
Oh, it's horrible. Absolutely horrible.
And as Angela said, no book on breastfeeding prepares you for breastfeeding.
No, and people aren't very good at explaining it. Because there are some women who can just sort of latch on the baby and they just don't feel that it's absolutely fine. And for those of us who are not like that, it is there's this sense that you're doing something wrong. Mm. And indeed, you might be doing something slightly wrong that doesn't suit your particular pain threshold. But I found people were very unequipped to explain exactly what it was to you. And it was only second time round with our second baby where we had our lovely midwife who looked very closely at what I was doing and suggested some adjustments. And after that, although it still hurt, it was bearable. And then after around the 3-month mark, it just became nothing at all.
Why does it hurt so much more for the first 3 months?
I don't know. I have no idea.
Okay.
And then it just clicks in and then literally nothing.
And what did Annie, the brilliant midwife, say? That it was a rugby ball, wasn't it? You held him like a rugby ball under your arm.
Yeah, but it was more than that. And I can't quite remember because it was so specific.
This is what happens when you've had a child. You forget.
Oh, yeah, the whole thing. And it has to be shrouded in forgetfulness.
Yeah.
And that's an evolutionary thing because if you remembered, you wouldn't do it again.
Yeah.
But she said something very, very specific.
This is why I'm trying to remind us of the pain.
Yeah, I don't really want to be reminded.
Don't do it again.
She said something extremely specific about positioning and where the baby's mouth went that just made it a bit easier. And then I could get through those early weeks when it was awful into the bit where it didn't hurt at all.
So for anyone listening who's pregnant, who's going into it, about to have their first child, it's, you know, there's ways and means around it and it's never as
bad. But equally, if it's that bad, just give up.
Yes.
It just doesn't matter.
That was when I was introduced to one of my favourite words ever, which is the breast-apo. The idea of people who insist that you have to do breastfeeding.
At any cost. It's just not true.
No. Okay, so we talked about breastfeeding. We have talked about wigs. What else came up during Angela Scanlon's episode? We talked about, lots of her things. I enjoyed the bit, actually it's very early on, where she was shopping to impress the new boyfriend. Buying
cookbooks.
But eggs. What is it? Eggs fear the heat. You cannot, but there's a great phrase that she used. You cannot turn the heat up too high for an egg or something. I can't remember what it was that Angela's partner said.
There was also a book about lots of different types of meat, like alligator and stuff.
Mm. You've eaten weird meat, haven't you?
I have. I once went to one of those restaurants where they serve very different types of meat.
Yeah,
I think I did eat alligator and zebra. Oh. I feel really bad now. It was also like whatever it wasn't bad. You know, they hadn't done a bad thing. I think they'd done it sustainably.
Yeah.
But now I look back, I don't think I would do that.
No, it's funny how we've changed, isn't it? Do you think actually you changing with age or the times have changed?
Both.
It's interesting how much more, because the number of people who are vegan and vegetarian has gone up so much, and the number of people who are so absolutely fundamental about it, it's made it so much more mainstream. Similar to not drinking as much, it's so much more mainstream now to not, no one cares if you're a vegan or vegetarian anymore, whereas it used to be like a bit of an eyebrow raiser. So that sort of changed the mood music. So then when people read it wrong, I'm getting to an example here. There's a kebab house. It's part of a chain, and it's down in Holborn in central London, and it's in the same building as a Halls of Residence. And I used to drive past it on the way in to do my magic radio show when I was on in the mornings, and I used to go past at 6 a.m. And it's like big kebab it's got pictures of the animals, of like lambs.
Oh, what? This is what you're eating?
This is what you're going to eat.
Like Barney the lamb.
And it's sort of doing it in a slightly ironic, tongue-in-cheek sort of way.
Ooh.
Yeah, and I always went past and thought, that's weird. And it said like, coming soon, coming soon. Then they opened, and like I say, ground floor of a Halls of Residence, covered in graffiti within days of
opening. Yeah, because they'd be so... It would be so objectionable.
Because and interestingly, you know, when I was a student, you wouldn't have thought twice about that. But the dial has moved. It's really interesting. You wouldn't have graffitied a kebab house, but people are doing it. Because it was really leading into this whole, like, get your gore.
But also, it's just bad advertising to show the animal. There's a KFC near us where in the window, the sort of tagline is, it's clucking good. And I think, well, if it's clucking, then I don't want to eat it.
Yeah. Yeah, you wouldn't say go to McDonald's, have a mootiful burger.
Don't remind me.
They've got lovely eyes and they taste good. You're right. But what percentage of meat do you now eat? Because you've really calmed down.
Well, I went vegetarian for about 2 years. And then I read that at my old crone age, I am supposed to have, you know, lots of protein. And so I thought, well, I'll introduce a bit of good quality meat. So maybe 3 times a week, I have a bit.
It's a lot less than what we used to do.
I know.
When we were first courting, we had a lot more meat. Okay, that seems like a good point to end the first half. We will discuss the Angela Scanlon episode more in a couple of minutes' time, including we had a lovely therapy session. We'll talk about that and much more in just a moment. But first, here are the adverts. Hello and welcome back to My Mate Bought a Toaster Toasted. We are going through the Angela Scanlon episode. Beth, Angela talked about lots of other things. She talked about getting the Robot Wars gig. So you actually worked with Angela Scanlon, didn't you? When you were working on TV, before you got your book deal, tell the gathered throng what happened.
I've got an Angela Scanlon story.
Let's spill the beans.
She probably won't remember. And I'm trying to think when it was. It would have been in the early part of 2018. She was either pregnant or breastfeeding at the time.
Painfully.
And I made a pilot with her. And I mean, so long ago, I can barely remember it. But we were making a pilot, and I think the pilot was about erotic fan fiction.
Yes.
And I was just sort of there in a sort of designy capacity at the shoot.
Did you come up with this idea for erotic fan fiction? Because you found the erotic fan fiction about me in my PC Andy Torchwood days.
Yes, it was around about the same time we'd been talking about stuff like that. And Great. Then there was some erotic fan fiction about you, which I read in a pitch.
Yes. You also read at dinner once with some friends of ours.
Yes.
Do you remember that?
Went down well. Mm. And it was around about the time when Twilight
Saga
and 50 Shades of Grey, which all started as, well, 50 Shades of Grey, slightly erotic fan fiction.
Yeah.
And
that is how they started, isn't it? They were fan fiction.
Yeah, yeah. And so we were making this pilot, and I was in the audience while Angela was presenting when my now agent emailed me to say, I really love your book and I want you to come in. Oh. So it was like a life-changing moment.
You won the book lottery.
That happened in front of Angela Scanlon, even though she never knew it.
Well, you never told anyone. I would have stood up and screamed. And,
no, I just cried very quietly in the audience. Yeah. But also that book, because we were working with Angela at the time.
Yes.
That book has a character who's an Irish red-haired woman called Angela.
No, it doesn't. Is that right?
You've read it.
I mean, I have, but you know how I forget books. I mean, I read it 5 years ago.
So I guess because I was working with her at the time, I must have been like, I'm really lazy with my characters.
Angela's really nice.
Yes. She's a great character.
So should I tell Scanlon that that's happened?
I don't think she'll care that much.
I might tell her. I might tell her.
But it's a nice little link up.
Should have known that. I mean, it would have been embarrassing if I told her on the pod and she just shrugged at me. So,
but maybe she'll be offended that she was presenting this pilot and I wasn't watching because I was too busy crying at this email.
I don't think she'll mind about that, to be honest. Saving Missy has got a character called Angela based on Angela Scanlon. Wow. Mm-hmm. What an Easter egg of a moment. What a niche Easter egg that is.
Yeah.
All right. So elsewhere, we talked a bit about grandmothers dying. We don't need to dwell on that now, I don't think, do we really?
Oh, I just did love the stories of her massive families and that kind of link up that you had about your grandparents.
That's weird.
Only realizing subsequently how crucial they were to your development.
Because they were furniture. So you didn't really, you took them so for granted, even more so than parents. They were just there. They were just such a pre-existing condition. Mm. But crucially, as I was saying, when they go, you suck it up at the age of 6 or 7. You just sort of, you're so resilient. And in a world where, and it sounds like Angela had the same thing, nobody talked about death. I didn't go to the funeral. Like, literally, it was never discussed. Years later, you go, hang on, that person was really nice to me for a long formative time. And then they were switched off. And no one ever talks about that.
But even though children are resilient, it's going in some way, which is why subsequently you realise that that was your first sort of taste of death. And then it becomes...
Such a bleak thing to say.
I know, it is,
though. Your first taste of death. No, of course it is.
And then it goes
it's like,
in.
Let's be honest, for most people, myself excluded, but for most people, it's either a solid pet or it's a solid grandparent loss, isn't it?
Yes.
That's how you notch up your first bit of grief. And you, it often, hopefully not, it's sort of teens, isn't it, when you might get one.
Mm-hmm. And I, given that you were talking about therapy, I once had a therapist that linked my phobia of wasps with the news of my grandmother dying that was brought to me in a science lesson. And it was the same time I developed the fear of wasps.
No.
And so the therapist theorised that I knew about fear, and rather than put it on the fear of death, I decided to transfer it to the fear of wasps. That might be bollocks.
That's quite profound. So when you're running away from wasps, you're actually running away from death.
Yeah, it's quite mundane, really, isn't it?
Well, it's true that when you're in therapy, you do find yourself saying really mundane rubbish.
God, am I doing that? What a cliche.
You say things like, it's true, I suppose in a way I need to sort of try and almost believe in myself. We're going to have to stop here. So there was a therapy moment. Obviously, we talked about some self-help stuff. The Robot Wars gig for Angela.
What really kind of struck me about the early years, and indeed now as well, about her, she's very hectic as a person, and I love it, the energy.
Yeah.
But there was a point at which she was talking about how she's always hustling and why she loved Strictly because it allowed her to have a job and know exactly what she was doing.
Yes.
And what struck me about the whole Robot Wars era and then combining that with the One Show is she was working like a dog. I mean, she was just endlessly shuttling back and forth, getting on a bike to ride to places when she'd just given birth.
Which you mean motorbike? This is a thing that sometimes people do in the old showbiz, and I've known a few people to do it. They've got a job in the morning. I think Jeremy Vine might have done it for a bit when he had Channel 5, and then he would get a car in or a bike on to do Radio 2. They literally sit on the back of a bike that whizzes through the traffic.
I mean, it just sounded so mad.
If you're ever in central London and you see a motorbike with two people on it whizzing through...
It's someone famous.
Solid chance you've got a famo on
that
the back of that bike.
Sounds a bit dangerous. But it just struck me how hard she was working and that I wanted for her to be able to take her foot off the gas because I think she's very successful and very talented. And it's about time that she... could relax and not always be shuttling about, which is why I'm now obsessed with her getting a Strictly gig.
Yes. And it's true, though, that idea of having purpose and having the same gig, and Strictly especially, consumes you. And other guests I've had on, Annika Rice is a really good episode. If you've not listened to that, go and have a listen to that episode, because Annika Rice talks about when Strictly finished and how it was bleak that day. The next day you wake up, you go from being in demand. Can we film this thing with you? Can you do this interview on GMB? Da, da, da. And it's switched off. And I know that the BBC are much better now, apparently, at looking after you. But actually, it's really depressing. It's
to like have it switched off.
It's like you've lost a job.
I feel like people who do Strictly divide into two categories. And one half absolutely hate it and find the whole experience miserable and too intense and too much.
Mm.
And the other half adore it and are bereft when it's finished. And then there's a third who are just having an affair.
The shaggers. Yeah. I certainly know someone pretty well who did not enjoy the experience.
Yeah.
At all.
And I can see what, I mean, I would hate it.
But equally, I do think, why did you sign up for it then? If you didn't like it and this person ended up not doing it for very long by choice, what did you expect?
But then
there was
a lot
of dancing. Yes.
Maybe you just don't you can't fathom how overwhelming it is.
The days are mad. Like, long... Fleur East, who I know a bit, did it. And, like, she was doing a breakfast show on Hits and then dancing all day. And obviously,
madness.
I know there is a kind of like, yeah, well, at least she's not a nurse. Like, I get it. There are proper
jobs. It's not the coal face.
Still, it's really physically demanding that.
Well, I quite recently got offered, I couldn't do it because I was away, but I got offered tickets to the live show.
When did you get offered tickets to Strictly?
I was away, so I couldn't take it anyway. A friend of ours, it got snapped up within seconds.
Can you say the name?
No.
Oh.
Did I know about this?
Did I know that you were offered tickets to Strictly?
No, I couldn't even be asked to tell you. It was so quick. I got the offer. I was away. The other person stepped in like minutes because they're
about the hottest tickets. And imagine how hot those tickets are going to be for the Claudia and the last ones.
Impossible. One of my thought processes about, you know, like if I had been here about taking the tickets was, well, it's a very long record and then you have to stop and then you have to do the results thing. Oh. It's going to be really late. And that was me sitting in the audience on my ass.
CBA. Yeah, so imagine.
Imagine being one of the crew, one of the presenters.
CBA, by the way, is a new shorthand that I'm introducing to conversation.
I mean, it's my mantra.
Can't be asked. If you want to be Team CBA, you're more than welcome. It's free to join because I CBA'd with the admin. And then final thing, which we're going to talk about on Toasted today. By the way, my guest next week is Holly Morris, a really funny Instagrammer and comedian. She is going to be on the show next week. And then the week after next, we've got Owain Wynne-Evans, who is a brilliant radio presenter. And of course, you'll know him as a drummer. He's the Welsh drummer who got very, very famous during lockdown. So he is coming on the show. Before we finish, the final thing, which Angela and I talked about, and it feels like an appropriate way to end the show. The Bog Brush. It's Luigi's world's best toilet plunger. I'm going to put a link to it on the show today. You can't ignore this. It's $14.99.
I am so thrilled to see this. I'm now looking at a picture of it because.
Describe it, please.
As Angela was describing it, she described it as an accordion. And I got really confused because I was like, I don't understand how a toilet brush is an accordion. And now I'm looking at it, it makes total sense.
It looks like a cross between an accordion and a sex toy, doesn't it?
It looks like an extreme
B plug. That's what it looks like. Tell us what you can see on the description.
I can see a white accordion.
Heading down the bog.
Yes. It's mad. Well, I can safely say that I would never, ever buy this.
I don't want to go into your toilet brush policy because I think it's wild and insane. Suffice to say, Beth refuses to have toilet brushes in the house.
Gross. They're gross. They're disgusting.
Yes, not as gross as skid marks everywhere.
There are other ways of cleaning the toilet that do not involve putting something on some shit. And then having the shitty thing.
There are other ways. Let me tell you something, listener. If you ever come and stay at our house, don't borrow a toothbrush. That's what I'm going to say to you. So Luigi's world's best toilet plunger. Obviously Luigi, because they're plumbers, aren't they? Mario and Luigi in Super Mario.
Are they? I don't know.
Oh, come on. I thought you'd enjoy the connection there. There's no mention of Nintendo anywhere.
I love those different colours. Yes. You can get it in grey or blue or black. I love that you would make that decision.
The blue one's got a bright green fluorescent handle.
It looks even more like a sex toy in blue.
You know what? Yes, it does. You know what you're doing there? It looks sort of latexy and sex club. You're making a feature of your bog brush.
Yes.
And I like that. It's a feature.
Because it's still going to be covered in shit.
So it's 8 times more effective than a regular rubber plunger. Push a huge volume of air with each plunge. No need to form a seal. These are the things that it says right on the description. It's cost effective. It's environmentally friendly. I don't know why they're saying these things, but and it is a. It works on all types of toilets. Let's be honest. I mean, all types of toilets. There's only really one type of toilet.
What is a toilet?
I'm going to go and use it on my camping. Compostable
toilet? Says no need to form a seal, and that just makes me really grossed out.
Yeah. Oh. Because when you normally plunge, you form a seal and use the air to push it down. You should be enjoying this because this would mean you don't have to. Right. So then, and this is the crucial bit, the bear on the U-bend, right? So the ultimate goal, by the way, of Luigi's, our ultimate goal to help as many people with home and DIY goals as we can, and we're only getting started. So you jam it in, right? There's a picture. Now, this picture, 1.5 litres moved per plunge. And you can see what happens here is the Luigi goes right under, because often you might get a blockage in this area.
It does look effective. I'll give it that.
Can we get one?
No.
Can I buy you one for Christmas?
Because once it comes out, how do you wash it?
You wash it with a flush. You leave it in the toilet and you flush on it. So you flush around it.
That's not enough of a wash.
But it's rubber. So a lot of the... poopy will just sort of will just float on. Can you not giggle at poopy? A lot of the poopiness will just sort of float away. So you put it under the wash.
It's not enough of a wash.
Can I suggest that? Can I moot something for Christmas?
You're not buying me a Luigi's toilet plunger for Christmas.
We should be allowed to buy each other one domestic-based gift.
It's our anniversary on Saturday.
I mean, you've been having to clean up mess for a long time. It feels like an appropriate...
And it's our furniture anniversary.
Oh, my God! It's
toilet furniture!
Now, Luigi's is number one in toilet plungers and holders.
It's a number one bestseller.
Beth, this looks really genuinely good. The reviews, brilliant. Does what it's supposed to do. Amazing, fast result, and no plumber. Shall we look at the photos?
No, let's not look at the photos.
There's photos.
What's wrong with people?
Oh, my God. Let's set this review. Look how long it is. This is longer than one of your books. There's a character called Angela.
Didn't you write? You wrote a review for Angela. What was that for?
It was for this.
Well, where's her review? Let's find it.
I'm not sure it's there. I'm not sure it's gone through. She has to click
on
it.
It hasn't been officialised.
Oh, look, someone said, GBZ has said, didn't work for my issue.
Go up again, because someone's done a poem.
Someone needs to tune
more. Somebody's done a poem.
No, they haven't.
Yes, they have.
Where?
Unblocks your loo, gets rid of the poo! Exclamation mark.
Oh, that's lovely.
That's a little poem
nice to, end on
to
a
the
poem.
Plunger.
Nice to end on a poem about poo. We're putting a link to this. Could you do me a favour and go and buy one, please, and write a review and let us know, tom@toasterpod.com, what you think of Luigi's Bog Unblocker. Thank you very much to Angela Scanlon, who was a wonderful guest. Don't forget, you can watch the whole episode. It's on YouTube. It's on Spotify. If you watch us on Spotify, you can see all our main episodes on Spotify. Please give us a quick review. It really, really helps drive new people over to the podcast. Thank you to Beth Murray.
Thank you.
Thank you to Beth Murray's wig as well. Thank you for bringing the fringe. It's strong Claudia vibes. I'll be back next week with Holly Morris. All the best, kind regards. Thanks for coming. It's my mate. Ooh.